RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
I'm reading from an RNZ headline, though there have been plenty of headlines through all the media on this. But this is specifically RNZ from about a week ago. Government to replace Health NZ Board with Commissioner. The government is installing Health NZ Te Whatu Ora's Board Chair Lester Levy as a Commissioner, replacing the organisation's board. The organisation will also be split into four regions with a Deputy Chief Executive brought in for each region. The board normally have seven members, but this is down to two now after three members opted not to serve another term and two others resigned with more than a year remaining. Levy was recently appointed chair of the organisation. He will take over as commissioner for 12 months. To get a perspective on this, we thought we'd invite Rob Campbell back to RCR. You might remember our chat with Rob last year after he was sacked by Health Minister Aisha Verrill from his position as board chair of Te Whatu Ora. He got into trouble for a LinkedIn post slamming National's Three Waters policy, accusing the party of blowing the dog whistle on co-governance. And he is back with us now. Rob, I hope everything's all right. Everything's going well since then.
Yeah, if I can ignore the cold I've got, I'm fine. You could have gone.
Okay. All right. So what has just taken place? Did it come as any sort of surprise to you?
No, there's been the problems of the health system go back a long way, but there's been, I think, a deterioration in the position over the past few months, which has been evident by the departures from the board, the voluntary departures from the board, and also this announcement about budget targets being missed. So I think as that started to happen, you could see that some kind of a shakeup was going to occur.
Okay, I think they're talking about overspending of about $130 million per month. How is that possible, do you think?
Well, with any situation, if you're overspending a budget by that much, the likelihood is that the budget was never right in the first place, Paul. It's not these people. This place isn't run by stupid people or careless people or spendthrift people. So I think you would have to say that the fault will be in the budget. And as we gradually learn about it, we're seeing that they had inadequately provided for some things that were known to be coming along, like recruiting more nurses, which we knew they were going to do, some of the pay settlements, which we knew were going to come. So I think probably you'd look at the budgeting process and probably the allocation appropriation process run by both the previous government and this one. So I don't think it's a matter of the spending being out of control so much as the planning and preparation and administration not being appropriate.
Was the merging of the country's 20 district health boards into a more centralised sort of operation, has that had anything to do with it?
I think it's identified the issues more clearly. I don't think it's caused it by any stretch of the imagination. It was not unusual for the previous district health boards, as you know, to run significantly over their budgets, and it was partly to get some of that back under better control that the Paora legislation was introduced and the elements of it that are centralisation were introduced, so that it's taken longer than I think anyone would have liked to effect that centralisation and to get just the basic data flowing in the appropriate way. I mean, the payroll systems still don't work for. So there's some pretty basic things that are still a major problem in the system, and they're problems that are inherited by Te Whatu Ora, not problems that Te Whatu Ora has created.
Has there been a kind of a kicking the can down the road approach over a period of time, and now we're seeing that sort of the consequence of that? I'm just trying to simplify it, you know?
Look, I think that's been the case from, this will come as a great shock to you, but politicians would rather kick a can down the road than take responsibility.
So no, really?
We've had quite a good, quite a long period of that. But, you know, I make this point. You've got to think about this from the Ministry of Health point of view. The Ministry of Health was there while the DHBs were running, some of them okay, but a lot of them poorly and poorly coordinated. That was the Ministry of Health's job to coordinate that. The Ministry of Health ran the process of the reforms. The Ministry of Health has remained the steward after the reforms and the key advisor after the reforms. The one constant you can find in all of this, the politicians have changed, the ministers have changed, the management structures in Te Whatu Ora have changed. The one constant is the Ministry of Health. And the Ministry of Health is not discharging its responsibilities in an appropriate way and never has, as far as I can see.
The Prime Minister suggested, we have reporting here, removing layers of bureaucracy, claiming there could be up to 14 management layers between Health NZ's chief executive and patients. 14?
Oh, look, you can certainly find that. I was sent the other day a very recent document from within the commissioning part of Te Whatu Ora on its organisational structure. It was sent to me by someone who had lost the ability to find who to talk to in Te Whatu Ora. They sent me what they were given, and it's 50 pages long. The document is 50 pages of organisational charts. So 14, I would think. Yeah, there are some that are shorter, I would guess. I couldn't understand a lot of it, to be honest, but there would be some that would be even longer than 14, and that's not really... that's just not kind of appropriate in any structure at all. There is still far too much bureaucracy. You've got to remember, Te Whatu Ora was required to take over all the previous structures and all the previous people from the DHBs and merge them into one. It was never a clean slate exercise. I think people perhaps need to understand that. Part of the previous government's way of approaching it was to hand it all over and then restructure it while it was still being run.
So restructuring should have been part of the handover, is what you're saying, really?
I think the restructuring was, and I was there at the time and we were being handed over things that the board at the time was saying, this is not right. Can I give you just an example of the sort of things that are wrong? If you go to the average GP and say, where does your income come from? Well, some of it comes from patients. Some of it comes from Te Whatu Ora. Significant part of it comes from ACC. ACC wasn't even included in the health reforms. A significant part of how it works, a significant part of how the private hospital system works. The private hospitals were never included. So what we've got is that they approached the reform, the Instant Young people and the ministry people who handled the reform approached it as if we had a national public health service that covered everything, and it doesn't. We have a substantively privatised system with some public hospitals and public funding of a lot of the private activity. And I don't think that, unless you incorporated all of it in that, how could you solve the issue about queues for operations when you didn't include in it the private hospitals that are doing a significant proportion, not just of their own operations, but of the operations being done for the public system? Just one off example of how this was not conceptualized properly. And, you know, in my experience from corporate governance, it's the preparation and getting the model right before you do it that's the critical thing. And, you know, some of that was obvious to me when I first got involved and to the other board members when we first got involved. Other parts of it became more apparent the longer we were there. And I think that's what you can see in the reshuffles that are now happening. People saying this actually can't be done in the way we hoped it could.
As we understand it, Levy has been given a sort of like a target of maybe $1.4 billion to be squeezed out, unnecessary costs. Do you think that's possible?
Well, anything's possible. I don't believe it's possible to do that without doing some significant harm on the way. I have seen that Lester Levy has said that he thinks it is, and I hope he's right, because it'd be in everyone's interest that that's the case. But to take out that substantial amount, you need to be able simultaneously to introduce systems, be they technology systems or simple restructure of how the thing works, which is not inexpensive in itself in the public sector, shifting people around. So whether that can be done within a year and to that extent without causing any damage, I think is very, very questionable. But all power to Lester and the others. If they can do it, it will be very good for all of us.
If you were there still and this was your brief, how would you go about it? What would you do and over what time frame? And what damage would you try and limit?
As it happens, although no one would agree with me at the time, I always thought the chair of Te Whatu Ora should be an executive position anyway. I thought it should be an executive chair position, which you could argue that Lester Levy now is. I would think it would still be valuable to have a board that had a wider range of skills than he has available to him, but it will enable him to cut through some of the old ministry and DHB management structures and philosophies that are there. I think it's also important that they reach out more effectively to the clinical organisations and the organisations representing nurses and others to involve them ahead of time. It's been very much a hierarchical view so far of here's what looks good on a whiteboard, let's try and do it and see if anyone objects. It's not quite that simplistic, but it feels a bit that way when you're having it done to you. So I think there would be ways in which you could involve the clinical organisations and the other staff organisations who are really, you know, no one goes into health really to just to make money. Not that there's anything wrong with making money, but if it's the sole purpose in health, it's a bit of a problem. It's not why they're there. Their organisations actually are comprised of very committed, intelligent people. And I think the big fault has been not being able to involve those people in the process enough.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because we've had, you know, representatives of the nurses on here before in other sectors, and they do say they feel left out of the process and don't understand why there wouldn't be direct consultation with them, because they're the coalface, so to speak. Why do you think they're ignored like that? Because it's just common sense, isn't it, to involve them big time?
Yeah, look, I think it's a cultural thing that wasn't present in all the DHBs. It's certainly an attitude from the top at the ministry level that the ministry knows best. And it was true within a lot of the DHBs, I think, that they are pretty hierarchical organisations themselves. So when you put them together, that didn't approve. I think also, to be fair, while they're very well motivated, a lot of the professional organisations in health could do with opening up their minds a little bit more to change. A lot of them are quite protective of their existing arrangements and how they work, and not necessarily open to flexibility on that, which so they bear some responsibility themselves. But mainly it's a management issue. And, of course, the way this whole thing was done was to gather a group of bureaucrats and consultants in Molesworth Street in Wellington and say, let's try and fix this on a whiteboard and then take it out and impose it. So right from the start, there was a significant problem in the way this was being done, despite all the best of good intentions about it.
What happens if things don't get sorted out in a timely way, Rob? Where is our health system headed? Because we've always been so proud of it, and it's done me well, and I've been in there a few times, I can tell you that. Ended up in one of the private hospitals, like you were just saying before, as part of the operation. Is this like a real turning point that we have to sort of do this now? Otherwise, it could sort of degrade more and more, faster and faster.
I'm pretty hopeful about that. With goodwill, that we can improve this. It is, I think, true, unfortunately, from my point of view, philosophically, that a lot of the change and innovation that is happening in the sector is happening in the private part of the sector and the community part of the sector and in the Kaupapa Māori part of the sector. There is a lot happening there which simply needs encouragement and following. So I think all of that will work quite well. What has to be done in Te Whātū Ora is to get the basic systems working, get the payroll systems working, get the information systems working, get a structure that's responsive. I think there is some need for further restructuring. I felt right throughout my period there, and nothing's changed in it. This is a huge property business in itself, and I think there needs to be, if not a separate property business, then certainly a separate property management and governance structure to lead both the maintenance and the new building part of the business. So I would actually have a much more separated health property structure to focus on that. I think also there is a need, which can be done with the various organisations, to get the funding part of the sector of what Te Whatu Ora does to see itself as not the same thing as running hospitals. Running hospitals and funding people to run GP practices are quite different things can be done within the one umbrella, but I think within the one management structure, it's been very difficult, and at the moment it's far too messy.
Could the private sector do the whole thing better? I mean, do we even consider that nowadays?
Well, I'm sure there are people that do, and gradually more and more is being done by the private sector. My own view is that if you take something like GPs, that the general practice system is broken. Is it the right thing to throw more money about that? Or should we, in fact, in those areas where a private GP practice is actually quite hard to run, should we be running public GP practices that can provide services? You know, can we be more flexible about that, do different things in different communities? So I don't think it's a matter, to me at least, I don't think it's a matter of more private or more public, really, but just being open to managing the mix together, accepting that we do have a substantively private medical service, of a health service available in the country, and learning how to work with that so that public does the things public does well and private does the things they do well and do it together. That's the aim we should be trying to get to now. It's not one versus the other.
What about your thoughts on primary health? Because, again, we talked to a lot of doctors from right across the spectrum over the time here at RCR. Many say the GP system is broken. You've just said that. And that there's not enough emphasis on, you know, just stuff like nutrition and understanding of how you can maintain health before you get to the stage. And many of those interventions of the health system can be avoided by just very well-known common sense eating, nutrition. Don't see much of that promoted or talked about. Do you see that as an essential part of the equation?
It's so critical. I mean, people always quote this figure about how 80% of what makes up health happens outside the health service, and it doesn't feel that it's necessarily wrong. We actually have a very highly skilled and with a good research-based public health group of people in New Zealand, and what happens is they get ignored far too often. So if we actually had a focus on good health and promoting what good health, good housing, good food, good nutrition, as you say, good exercise, all those kind of things, we know the things that make a difference. That's much better money. That's much better money spent than trying to fund GPs or hospitals or EDs or whatever to come along afterwards. You do need both, but our balance is badly awry at the moment.
Okay. Interesting getting your thoughts, Rob. Thanks for coming back on.
Cheers, no problem.
Hopefully it won't be another year before we talk again. Okay.
Yeah, well, hopefully the new guys do get it fixed or move it along.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.